Hello, this is Dr. Nicholas Ellen, Senior Pastor of Community of Faith Bible Church. We thank you for taking the time to join us this week as we seek to learn God's Word so that we may live His Word and love others through His Word. We pray that God will use this message to transform your life. Now, let's dive in to God's Word. We are coming now as we are building on our foundation of looking at racism. We have traveled quite a bit of a journey in trying to understand ethnicity, to understand racism, and soon we'll be talking about justice. And now we come to another section as we're trying to get through this big picture logic of racism. We last week talked about the whole idea when we reject God's description and prescription for racism. And this week we want to talk about the logic that people will try to provide, if you will, for racism and the refutation of the logic of racism. And again, I want us to begin by going back looking at the central definition of racism. We discovered that racism can be defined as the belief that one people group is more valuable than another and the practice of distinguishing one people group as more important than another. Fundamentally, we discovered that racism has to do not merely with real or perceived differences between people groups, but with the value and significance of these differences. It has to do with the presumption of superiority over other people groups and the conduct of personal and social life that manifests this presumption in a few ways. In the personal, in the communal, and sociocultural ways, we've discovered that racism has to do with beliefs and actions and structures that centralize some by marginalizing others on the basis of these supposed differences. And basically, as we pull ourselves together, whereas the word racism we discovered is not in the Bible, the concept can be understood as a practice of unbiblical partiality, ungodly bias towards people groups that results in elevating one people group and demeaning another people group, i.e. a respect of persons not sanctioned by God. And as we understand this, I want us to get to this point of the sermon and look at it from this perspective. When we choose to provide a logical reason as to why racism, i.e. unbiblical partiality, ungodly bias towards people groups, or respect of persons not sanctioned by God should be an acceptable operation in society, we are demonstrating a way which seems right to a man, but ends in the way of death. Proverbs 14:12 does say to us, there is a way that seems right to man, but it ends in the way of death. I want you to consider these insights given from these great commentators on this Proverbs 14:12. It says this, the rightness is present only as a phantom, for it arises wholly from a terrible self-deception. The man judges falsely and goes astray without regard to God and His word. He follows his own opinions. It is the way of estrangement from God, of fleshly security, the way of vice in which the blinded thinks to spend his life to set himself to fulfill his purposes, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Listen to this other commentator as he quotes on Proverbs 14:12. We have here an account on the way and end of a great many self-deluded souls. Their way is seemingly fair. It seems right to themselves. They please themselves with the fancy that they are as they should be, that their opinions and practices are good and such as will bear them out. The way of ignorance and carelessness, the way of worldliness and earthly-mindedness, the way of sensuality and flesh-pleasing seem right to those that walk in them, much, much more the way of hypocrisy in religion, external performances, partial reformations, and blind zeal. This they imagine will bring them to heaven. They flatter themselves in their own eyes that all will be well at last. Their end is really fearful, and the more so for their mistake. It is the ways of death, eternal death. Their iniquity will certainly be their ruin, and they will perish with a lie in their right hand. Self-deceivers will prove in the end self-destroyers. Listen to this commentator's perspective on Proverbs 14, verse 12. Decisions that seem right, humanly speaking, may be totally wrong by God's standards. Human nature, aided by the work of Satan, can make darkness appear as light. Isn't that something? Believers should always compare their own thoughts with Scripture. So, the key question that I want us to consider in breaking down this Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, how does Proverbs 14:12 apply to the issue of providing a logical reason why racism is acceptable? Now, remember, there are many people who believe that racism is okay, and they've got a logic for it. And I want us to begin to explore that. And again, this is just some of the big picture views. When you start to buy into an idea that there is a survival of the fittest and that mankind buys into a Darwinistic view, then you begin to accept that racism is logical. And the problem is, it doesn't wash with Scripture. It doesn't wash with God. But let's take a look at some of this. Consider this. Racism can be understood again as a practice of unbiblical partiality, ungodly bias towards people groups that results in elevating one people group and demeaning another people group. A respect of persons not sanctioned by God. God declares that this is sin. Therefore, anyone who is trying to present a logical reason why racism is acceptable is in contradiction to God, thereby demonstrating a way that seems right to man, but ends in the way of death. Now, with that in mind, I want you to consider some of the logic that has been given for why racism is acceptable. First of all, there is this belief that human patterns are determined by genetic factors. In other words, that everything about mankind has come from his genetics. Therefore, character, personality, physical characteristics, mental and intellectual abilities, as well as social and cultural development, they believe are all genetically based. According to researchers, evaluation and classification of people groups, there are people groups who are superior to other people groups in character, personality, physical characteristics, mental, intellectual abilities, as well as cultural development due to genetics. And we've seen people say that. Think about the Nazis. Think about that group of individuals out there who believe that their particular ethnicity is better than everyone else and that it can be biologically proved. When you see people think this way, they are building on a pattern that seems right, but it ends in the way of death. So with their logic, therefore, groupings of people can be ranked on a hierarchy scale from superior to inferior based on genetics. Now let that sink in. So you've got people who truly believe that all of our human patterns are determined by genetic factors, all physiological. And they truly believe that you can classify people groups based upon these genetic ideas that they have, and that there are superior people because they have superior genetics, and as a result, their character, their personality, their physical characteristics, everything about them is superior to others. So, of course, by this genetics, you can begin to have a hierarchy of race, thus superior to inferior. Now, as a result of this differential treatment of persons and people groups, it makes sense if you do that. Why? Because according to those who are superior and inferior, someone is stronger, someone is weaker. So as a result, differential treatment of persons and people groups makes sense. According to who is superior and inferior, why? Because there are some that are strong and some who are weak. This sounds like a lot of Darwinistic ideology, doesn't it? You know, the survival of the fittest. Well, I want to give a biblical response to the logic that we've just discussed. First of all, we understand that God created man in his image. We see that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to verse 28. We also understand that God created man with a material and immaterial nature. We see that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. So man is not just physical, man is material and immaterial. And again, his ability to think, his ability to reason, to desire, to speak and act and relate derive from his immaterial nature, not his physiological structure. The Bible says, in the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The Bible tells us to guard your heart. And it's not talking about the physiological. It's talking about the immaterial. Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart, from it flow the issues of life. So your physiological being does not determine your reasoning, your desires, your ability to act or relate. That comes from your immaterial heart. Your physiological structure is an instrument of actions, not the determiner of actions. In Romans chapter 6, verse 12 to verse 13, Paul explains that your body is an instrument and it must be used in such a way that it presents righteousness. But it's not the body that's determining the action, the personality or the attitudes. It is the immaterial heart. It is the instrument to carry out what's happening on the inside, i.e., the heart. But we also understand that all mankind derives his origin from Adam and Eve. All mankind is created in the image of God. Therefore, all ethnicities are equal immaterially and materially because they all derive from God the Creator. Therefore, no people group are less than or greater than the other people group, but all come from the same origin. We have been created in the image of God. Therefore, we take on that reality, and God made us multi-ethnic. What does that mean? We are the same. We are different. We are unique, but we come from our Creator, which means that there is no one greater than or less than within the context of our people groups. And since God is no respecter of persons and has no hierarchy of structure for mankind, he will condemn and he will save mankind on his faith or lack thereof, not according to his or her ethnicity. God has no respect of persons. And if we really understand and refute this logic even more, it has never been proven that genes connect physiology, intellectual capacities, and cultural expressions. This classification of people groups do not happen without personal bias, without personal meaning, without personal value placed on those classifications, which again are not clarified, not validated, or not stated implicitly or explicitly by God. God is no respecter of persons. Mankind is. Therefore, the classification of individual people with bias bestowed meaning and value is the result of mankind leaning on his own understanding, following the traditions of men, following the elementary principles of the world, living by earthly, natural, demonic wisdom, worshiping the creation above the Creator. And when you look at the logic of what we've just presented, this is where we understand social Darwinism and eugenics. And if you go and study that, they come back to this reality that there's something about mankind that makes them different and some better than and some greater than based upon some idea of genetics, which does not wash when we understand Scripture. In order for us, ladies and gentlemen, to overcome racism, it must first be acknowledged as sin. We must then pursue the wisdom of God and turn away from worshiping the creation above the Creator, demonstrating that one is walking in earthly, natural, demonic wisdom, demonstrating a worship of the creature above the Creator. We must walk in love towards God and others. Proverbs 28:13 tells us that he who covers his sins will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes will find compassion. When we look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 and verse 13, it tells us that faith is demonstrated in love, and love is to work itself out in serving. So in the practicalness of all of this, if we really understand the logic of racism, it's refuted by looking at the reality of God and his word, his creation, his standard for how he has put things together. He's no respecter of persons. He made us equal. He made us different. He made us, again, the same and unique. All these different things to reflect his image. We are one race, the human race, that are multi-ethnic in our existence. There must be an acknowledgement of racism and sin against God and others if we want to truly deal with this right. One must confess his sin of racism and acknowledge it to God, his need for forgiveness from God and the salvation of sanctification, as well as confess the sin of racism and pursue forgiveness from people he has practiced racism against where appropriate to do so. Here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that one individual has to apologize for an entire generation of people. Please don't hear me. I'm saying that you as an individual, if you found that in some places you have acted in a way where you have walked in what we've defined as racism, you must go to that individual and seek their forgiveness. And again, this is across the board. This isn't a color issue. This is multi-ethnic. It doesn't matter if you're white, if you're black, if you're Latino, if you're Asian, where you have found yourself demeaning another set of individuals or an individual because they do not look like you. Where you have found yourself elevating your ethnicity above another ethnicity. Where you have done unbiblical bias towards someone, unbiblical respect of persons, and demeaned another ethnicity. Individually, you must address that. One must have a transformation of mind through understanding God's agenda for the creation of mankind. One must submit to God's agenda for his existence and seek to love all people through serving them accordingly. Remember, as we are trying to break this down, our goal is to help us understand that this concept of racism, this unbiblical bias, is something that is a sin of the heart of individuals that has to be addressed, that as we start to do what is right in the sight of God, and we come together, and we walk in a manner worthy of God, which means there has to be reconciliation to God, which will then change our position and condition, which then will lead us to walk in a manner worthy towards other people. That is how we can begin to understand that racism is an issue of the heart that's going to have to be dealt with by individual to individual to individual, where it has manifested to come out to be in areas with people in central ways. The goal is to get individuals to come to recognize where they've fallen short, confess, repent, replace. But that means unto salvation for those who don't belong to Jesus Christ and those who are in sanctification. Because the ultimate agenda, ladies and gentlemen, is not racism. The ultimate issue and agenda of life is the fact that we are sinners in need of a Savior. And for those of us who have embraced the Savior, we need to recognize where there may be issues in our heart where racism exists. We need to confess, repent, and replace by the power of God and develop in our sanctification of love for God and love for others. As we understand that racism is not the core issue of life, sin against God is the core issue of life, and the fact that we need to be delivered to develop in our relationship with God, which will, watch this,
then defeat the whole issue of racism, because love will overcome sin where we walk by the power of God. Therefore, if we understand this reality, we must get to a place where we will understand this, but also have a transformation of mind through understanding God's agenda for the creation of mankind, submit to God's agenda for his existence, and seek to love all people through serving them accordingly. So as we break this down, I want you to listen to the words coming from the book No Partiality, The Idolatry of Race and the New Humanity. Listen to these words. He says, the sin of racism is manifest in our failure to acknowledge that our status as beloved creatures, our manner of loving, and our identity as lovers are not ours to determine or to surrender to others because of either our race or the race of others. The sin of racism is also manifest in the fact that human status, ways of life, and personal identities have been established in a symbolic universe that has enthroned race as the ultimate arbiter of meaning. Racial self and group interest has become the motivation for human conduct, and the spurious strategies for dominion, segregation, and integration have perverted God's intention for a community of love. We have rejected the promise and the promiser. We disbelieve that God has a different purpose for us, and we submit only to assertions that make sense to us on our terms. And we have the audacity to claim that God intends it to be this way, that the way we see as race and the differences we make of race are consistent with God's purposes. The notion that our identity, morality, and sociality are grounded in and determined by racial interests is nothing more than active or passive expression of egoism. Prideful people have no need for God, and slothful people have only an indifferent God. There is a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in the way of death.
We hope that you've been encouraged by hearing God's word. If you would like to contact us, you may do so by dialing 713-510-4021, or you can go online to www.cofhouston.com. This is Dr. Nicholas Allen saying God bless you and have a great day.